You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All righty. Good morning, Tucson. Wake up. It's Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kais. It's Wake Up Tucson. Christy Simone, the ever vacationing. I mean, good. The guy gets more vacation days than I do. It's just not
what
fair.
What is going on? I think he works for the county or something. Jeez.
You would think.
Yeah.
But glad that he's coming back on Friday. I mean, of course, he comes back on Food Friday. I'm getting grief from Shelley because I got Don Guerra coming in at 7:30. Well, calling in at 7:30. He's calling in. Well, he has to get to work. He's got to make some bread. So we got to let him go to the office and make a little bit of bread. But
that's true.
Sean.
Okay. I know. I keep teasing you with food. And
yes.
You're gonna beat
here
me
we
here
go
in a
again. Here we go.
And he brought us nothing, right?
No.
Brought us nothing.
It's a food. It's a food tease Thursday with no food. Oh. And then, of course, we've got Chris back tomorrow, so that'll be good. You guys did a great job yesterday, you and Bruce.
Covered a lot of stuff, huh?
Boy, we did. It was a fast 3 hours. It was a lot of fun.
It's always fast.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing how fast time goes.
I know.
Get up at 4:15 this morning, roll out of bed, do all my things, play with the dogs, look up, it's 5:30. I'm like, God, I gotta go already.
Especially
and then
the
I'm
morning.
Running late.
The morning goes so fast.
How? All I'm doing is trying to catch up on my day, get ready for my day, and next thing you know, poof, it's gone. You're like, whoa, what happened? And
so, yeah, I don't know. It does go by fast. But you know what? I'll bet it's not going by fast for kids.
I was going to say kids stuck in a classroom or kids stuck at home with mom teaching.
Well, yeah.
Pretty
kids stuck
summer,
at home.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's a study out that's talking about girls in grades 5 through 8 who are experiencing extreme loneliness.
Yeah.
Girls in grades 5 through 8, they're lonely.
Social time.
Girls, particularly, maybe more so girls than boys. I haven't seen the studies on boys. But girls, you know, they get together and they chat. And that's how you learn how to put on lipstick. And you know, grades 5 to 8 are some pretty tough times for girls. And they're missing out on that. They're missing out. So the studies are saying that the loneliness for girls is higher than it's been in the past.
Interesting, because I newly acquired a girl.
I know
so
you did.
So I had her for like a year and a half now, and it's kind of cool. But we've got neighbors that have kids, so they play all the time, whether it's upstairs in the loft or it's in the pool or it's at the neighbor's house. The two girls are always playing together.
That's what girls do.
Yeah.
Remember, girls get face-to-face and talk to each other. Have you ever watched Two Little Girls? We get face to face. We got so much to say.
You go to the bathroom together. You do all kinds of crazy stuff. Boys eat dirt.
Of course we do. But not only that, when two boys get together or two men get together and they're face to face, what's about to happen?
Now, come on.
We're going to separate and back up and get out of my face and we're going to create social distancing.
It's confrontation or intimacy. Confrontation or intimacy.
Well.
So all the studies are talking about that. But let's get back to kids. Let's get back to the fact that our kids aren't in school.
I know.
And it looks like now the Pima County Health Department has recommended that our kids don't go back to school until after Labor Day.
Which is funny because you have to look at this. Everybody's an expert.
Yeah.
I read an article yesterday that there's 6 strains of COVID-19. And our strain here in Arizona is different than what they had in New York and blah, blah, blah. And I don't believe anybody anymore. I'm so over this crap. I'm sick of my mask. I'm sick of COVID-19. I'm sick of social distancing. I'm sick of plexiglass. I'm over it. It's either give me the disease. I mean, can I willingly go get it and get it over with and be done with it so we don't have to deal with this? Wouldn't that be easier?
Right.
Well, I don't think that getting it over with is what's going to change all this. In New York, even though a month ago they gave the go-ahead to go back to work, we've only got 10% of people back at work. Now, why is that? Well, a lot of people still have kids at home and no one who's willing to be a daycare provider. So is it possible that right now, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say you brought up an interesting point because I read somewhere today that a daycare is getting under siege because of their BS COVID policy. But I thought daycares were closed. If you can't open
a
school.
Not. I don't think so.
Well, if you can open a daycare, why can't you open a school?
Exactly.
Somebody explain this to me.
Who's got more germs?
Kids?
Three-year-olds or
eight-year-olds?
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
So, I mean, honestly, if the daycare is open, why aren't the schools open?
But a lot of daycares aren't open. A lot
and
of
that's
daycares,
what I thought.
And that's and remember, a lot of kids don't go to daycare; they go to private homes, And a lot of those private home facilities aren't open. So,
but you still have three or four kids that aren't from the same family traveling back and forth on a daily basis and interacting with other kids and going back into family. So if that person's going to work, you're not stopping the spread. You're actually promoting it.
Right.
Because you're going to work, the kids going to daycare, you're all going back home, and then you're congregating. So
but let's
what's
back
different
up.
From that than going to school? The kids going to school, sitting in a classroom, whether there's a partition, a shower curtain, a mask, this is going to be the best one. You're going to send the kids, I mean, we're going to send kids back to school and they're going to wear masks. What do people do? What do kids do at lunchtime? They trade their lunches. What's going to happen when Johnny walks in with a Spider-Man mask and Joey walks in with the Hulk and they go, oh, I want your mask, and they switch masks?
That could happen.
And now they're sucking face with each other's mask.
But start connecting all the dots here. If only 10% of people are willing to go back into the office, and I believe it's Google that just announced they're going to stay out until next summer.
Next July, yeah.
Next summer.
But so, they're men and women. But those are people that can work at home.
Exactly.
They're sitting in front of a computer. They've got a supercomputer. They can do stuff for Google at home.
Okay, right. but we still have to keep drilling down here because the Navy. There was just an article from I think it's the chief, not the chief of naval operations. I'll have to chief of naval personnel. He has 700 employees. Prior to COVID, only 5% of his workforce was authorized to telework.
Mm-hmm.
Post-COVID, 100% of his workforce is teleworking, and we've still got ships sailing, people going and getting the job done. The key is that the whole concept of telework is now changed.
Yes.
And so when
forever.
Forever, yeah. Because people who have found out that they can now telework, as a manager, you can no longer say you can't effectively do your job teleworking if the person has now teleworked 5 months.
They were talking about this yesterday, saying that most people that have worked for the past 5 months from home haven't figured out how to, or if they want to, go back to the stringent 9-to-5.
That's right.
Where they can't go get their oil changed on a Tuesday, and they can't do this and they can't do that because they're so locked in. It's like going to prison.
I've been on virtual meetings with people, and I've had them say, send me a private message and say, I'll be right back. I have to, the air conditioning mechanic's here. The maintenance guy just came.
Yeah.
And most of our virtual meetings, we have a little opportunity that you can use an icon to step away. And so you see those pop up every now and then. Look, the way we work has changed, but I still say that the way we send our kids to school is what's driving this.
Okay, so if we do change the way we work, do we change the way we educate? Because what they're talking about right now, especially in TUSD, is that they may not have kids in the classroom. And if they do have kids in the classroom, they may not have a teacher in the classroom.
Right.
They may have a monitor.
Right.
So if you're sticking a monitor in the class, number one, if there's 30 kids in a classroom, there's a monitor, oh, holy, you know what's going to break loose.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to maintain social order. But if you have the ability to teach by a monitor, or if you can teach by the iPad, the Chromebook, whatever they're using these days, if you can teach by that, do you need 10 second grade teachers? Do you need 10 third grade teachers? Can you do it with one and have that person teach everybody and then give them two assistants and everybody grades the work?
You know what, Sean? I said this yesterday, and I don't know if you remember this, but I started my career in the classroom. And if I were back in the classroom again, I would be very concerned about where my profession is going. So on Craigslist, I saw an ad not too long ago for people to be subject matter experts and presenters of academic information, being paid $15 to $50 an hour. So in other words, if I can, if I could go on and present how to calculate the standard deviation and interpret the results in an hour and get paid $50 for that, that's my contribution. That pod gets put up online and that becomes the academic learning piece, and then you've got that person that's sitting in the classroom that's the monitor. But the question is, there's just not a whole lot of people that when you say sigma equals the square root of the sum of x minus x bar squared divided by n, that they may have a question or two.
You lost them at sigma. I mean, come
there
on.
There you go. So when we step back and we look at this, there's a couple of things I think we need to be asking ourselves. Number one, are schools driving return to work, or is COVID driving return to work?
Right now, I think the government's driving the lack of return to work with the $600 bonus that just is going to expire tomorrow, which is interesting.
There's another piece.
Well, then they're talking about we're going to get another $1,200 rolling back around. So we're all going to get another bonus of $1,200. They're also talking about, I like the Republicans' idea. Obviously, I'm a Republican, so gee, go figure. But to get people back to work, they want to incentivize employers to give a bonus or give the employer a tax break. Then they're also talking about the employee not paying taxes till the end of the year, giving them additional more money to come back to work and more money in their pocket. But then you bring back the school thing. How do you get, if you're a dual income, no kid family, that's great. Good for you. You guys can both go back to work. Everything's perfect. No big deal. But if you're my situation, I go to work, she stays home, teaches a kid.
Yep.
Does that work for everybody? I mean, financially, I can afford it. But is everybody else in that position to where they don't need the dual income? And how have they learned how to survive on $2,400 or $3,200 a month?
Exactly. There's so many pieces to this puzzle. But you know what the umbrella is? We're going to take a break and let's come back and talk about at 50,000 feet, what's the overarching issue?
It's a very interesting thought. It's Wake Up Tucson, Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice. If you want to get on the conversation, give us a quick call, 790-2040. 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back. Well, is it Wake Up Tucson? It's Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice, Ed Alexander. We kind of skipped the break, but hey, good morning. I will say this. Yesterday, I went to Costco and I had to go to Walmart, my two least favorite places. And neither one of them were crowded. Walmart was dead, which was, it's never, and I went at like 12:30 because I'm insane, but I went to Costco at about 10:30. And Costco was empty. It was a ghost town. It was great. I saw a friend of mine. She was working there. I was like, hey, how's it going? And then there was nobody in the store. I was like, wow, this is perfect. Nobody in line. Normally the line's 30 people deep.
Yeah. Wow.
It was me and the cashier.
Yeah. Well, so I have to confess, I told you I wasn't going to go to Trader Joe's anymore because I can't really stand all those, you know, they're the ones who close down the economy. Those people go to, you know.
The hippie?
The hippie. Yeah. So, I said, I'm not going. Mrs. Alexander said, please, can you get that? Yes, I will. And there was nobody there. And because those are the people who are so scared to go outside.
Sprouts is the same way.
That's ridiculous. People, wake up.
Yeah.
There's food on the shelves. Go get some and go home.
How politically motivated is this?
It's crazy. The fear factor on that side is off the charts. That's why nothing's going to happen in October, November. They just canceled the car show, the October, you know, the big car show, the
Cops and
the one before the okay. Mary's one, the
sure,
in October, like, what, you don't think people can walk around outside in October? This is crazy. They're, people are stupid.
Okay, let's look at this from another aspect, the mask thing. Why do you have to go wear a mask while you're walking up and down an outdoor trail? I don't understand that.
I don't. Do you have to?
Yes.
I don't.
Yeah,
yes.
Tumamoc Hill is what you're talking about.
Oh.
If you walk up and down Tumamoc, you have to wear a mask.
Oh.
It's 113 outside. You got to wear. Yeah. I don't get it. The guy's running down the sidewalk in my neighborhood wearing the mask. I'm like, okay, if it's one of those oxygen depriving ones, it makes you get a little better because it trains you for altitude or whatever.
But yeah.
That's great. But these people are wearing these stupid masks that I'm wearing and they're running up and down the road and they're riding their bike and they're in their car by themselves. I mean, come on, get over it.
People, I'm getting sicker staying at home. I need to go work out. I got a lung problem. I need to go work out. It's too damn hot at 118 in the afternoon to go for a walk.
Hey,
I need to go to Choose and start motivating again.
I'll give you a shout out to Danny Swaya from Tucson Strength. He made the news because he's doing it right. This is Tucson Strength.
Speedway
Danny Swaya.
And Craycroft, right?
He basically went around. He's following the law to 100%, but he said, okay, if I can't work out inside my gym, but it's okay to be outside. So they basically put a big tent outside in the parking lot. They drag the equipment in every morning and every afternoon.
And you can work out.
It is financially draining him, but he wanted to give his folks a place to go work out.
A place to work out.
Circumvented the stupid rule. Yeah. Because you can go to Lowe's. There's 100,000 people in Lowe's on every given day. And these people are stupid when they go to the Lowe's. Or they go to Home Depot. Or they go to anywhere. Walmart. They're walking around like damn zombies. They don't know what they're there for. They just had to get out of the house. Let's go to Lowe's. Walk around. Well, I'm there working. Get the heck out of my way. Go back home. Stay where you're supposed to. Be healthy. And put your damn mask on if you're going to come in the store, according to the rules. But just walking around, wandering where the hell you're going aimlessly, go do that outside. It's 114. Don't do it in Lowe's where people need to get business done.
Mm.
So we've got masks. We've got kids not going back to school. We've got people not going back to work.
$1,200 more stimulus coming your way.
$1,200 stimulus.
Free money.
So I don't know. It sounds to me like a lot of this might be
politically motivated.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, everybody keeps joking on our side anyhow. November 5th, COVID goes away.
Absolutely. It does.
I'm surprised. August 4th, coming up next Tuesday, is your primary day. Make sure you get out there. Make sure you go vote. We've got Steve on the line. Steve wants to talk a little bit about that. Let's go to Steve.
Steve, good morning. Wow, it's not working. Hold on, Steve. I got you plugged in.
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
Well, yeah.
There he is.
Let's go, man. Come on.
How you doing this morning, guys?
Okay, what do you want to talk about? You're on a different speed than us, so pick it up. What's up?
That's right. Shelley mentioned to me the other day when I saw her that they had closed down her precinct polling spot, and I was wondering if she would talk about that a little bit and let us know if she's made any progress in bringing it back.
We will not. The precinct polling spot in Quail Creek, which would be precinct 84, has been closed down, and we will be going to the East Social Center in Green Valley. And we haven't found out exactly why. We do know that the Democrats were notified about this way back in March. The Republican folks were never notified about it. We found out kind of on our own. So Board of Supervisor Christie had some folks look into it. And the Quail Creek folks said that their facilities were not available for this. So we are still looking into this because precinct number 84 is a very high turnout precinct for voting, and making people drive is not a good idea.
Well, it's, I don't want to call it ageist, make it an age issue, but you have a higher propensity of elderly, if you will,
yeah,
in Quail Creek.
It's an over 55 community.
So are they stifling your vote?
Well, so that, you know, that's the question that you want to ask.
And it's primarily a Republican district. Or
yes, it is.
Let's call it a Republican neighborhood for the most part. You're probably 70%, I'd say.
Probably.
You got a lot of flags flying. That's how I can tell.
Yeah.
Has it been open all the other times?
Yes.
Every other time.
Okay.
They've been doing a facility renovation, which was supposed to be done, I believe, the 1st of July. Of course, it's still not done. Steve, that's...
Great question.
We need to stay on top of all of these things, and we are. We're looking into it. We're trying to find out why. Was that a situation where, in fact, they said that it wasn't available, or are we relocating polling places? So,
okay.
Thanks for the question.
Day. People have been asking me. You bet. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Now, honestly, I would say more of the removing polling places than it would be the facility not being available. However, with COVID-19, anything's possible. You do live in, or you do have an older population. So, are they taking the precaution? Because when this whole thing first started, it was supposed to affect the elderly dearly. Now it affects everybody, so who knows?
I think the issue was that there was a renovation and the facility wouldn't be available, but now the renovation will be complete, so let's see if it's available for November.
Well, it's next week. I mean, we've got
right,
August
4th. We're not going to be available next week. We're going to be going to the East Social Center in
Green Valley.
Yeah, in Green Valley. And so what's going to happen now is we're going to push to make sure that's open in November.
Make sure it's back for November for the election.
Absolutely.
for the federal. Very good. All right. Well, it's Sean McCluskey and Shelley Kice. We're coming back after this break with Ryan Larson. We're going to talk a little bit about sports since they're just starting to fire back up. Should get a little fun. And if Rhonda Pena wants to call in and apologize or talk to anybody on the line, she knows the number. It's 790-2040. Vote anybody but Rhonda. That's my plug for the day. It's Wake Up Tucson, the local trusted news, local and talk. Wow, I can't say that anymore. Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kreis, we'll be right back after this.
Congressman Schweiker at 7 today, too, at 10:30, The Voice. Big intro for the
one and only.
Huh?
The one and only.
The one and only incredible unpaid intern, Ryan Larson with sports. Morning, sir.
Morning, Ed. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. How are things up in Utah?
They're going well.
Yeah, nice and cool.
It's like our one hot week of the year, so we're actually hitting 100.
Oh, wow, that is hot.
As we all know in Arizona, that's nothing.
Yeah.
So you're sitting out, I think the last time we talked last year, this time of the year, it was 100 degrees there, and you guys don't have any air conditioning, do you?
No, we have air conditioning. Utah definitely needs that, so that's...
It is 2020. They came around to.
Yeah, just checking. How is Ryan Larson with sports? And we're going to talk a whole lot of just crazy madness. So how is the COVID situation in your neck of the woods? Let's go with that first.
I mean, things are probably a little better than Arizona. The Salt Lake County and Salt Lake City itself has a mandatory mask mandate similar to what Tucson has without the reporting and potential community service and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of Utah is pretty relaxed. No mask requirements outside of Salt Lake. And then most things have remained open up until this point, just with the whole social distancing protocol and whatnot. But it's far more relaxed than Arizona is right now, that's for sure.
Are the kids going back to grade schools?
That is still being worked on. It's not really sure. They want to open the schools. That's what they're working towards. But there's no firm plan yet on the school system.
How is school going to transpire for you next year and the university level?
So the current plan for the University of Utah is they're going to have smaller classes, you know, limit the capacity on campus to like 20-30% of students on there at any given time, with everyone having to wear masks and social distance in the classrooms. For me personally, I just elected to take all classes online anyway, because I'm getting the feeling that all the classes are going to be shut down at some point again with the way things are going. So I'm just going to do all online classes this semester from the get-go, rather than trying to make things work on campus, because it really doesn't seem worth it to have to go to campus every day when you're going to be wearing a mask, you're going to be in these tiny classrooms, and everyone's going to be super uncomfortable. I'd rather just do my classes at home.
You absolutely said everything we were talking about when we first started, and you nailed it. This is perfect. I mean,
this is the way it is.
You summed it up perfectly. It is. Nobody wants to go back to class, but I can do it from home. Why do I have to go transfer and walk across campus to go to my classroom? I mean, at that point, you can come back to Arizona and do the classes online.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. If I was a freshman starting college this year, I would want to defer, because you're just not getting the college experience. You're not going to be able to meet anybody. It would just be like trapped in your dorm room for an entire freshman year.
But they still charge you the full price for the experience that you don't get.
Yeah. For everything.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to pay the full price.
Well, now what about college football? Or you think we're going to have college football or not? Because I know you are the sports guy, and you're one of the smartest sports guys I know. So what do you think about this? Are we going to have football? Are we going to have college football? Are we going to have professional football?
So we're going to have professional football. That one I feel very confident about. College football is much harder to feel confident about right now, just because with the NFL you have 32 teams and you have – a league that controls all 32 teams. So all 32 teams are under the same leadership. So they can have a uniform set of rules. They can create a protocol for every single team has to follow. For college football, because it's so regionalized, because these teams are in smaller conferences, it's going to be really hard to organize a season, because these teams are also playing in different states, and they also are technically supposed to look after the so-called student athlete. That is one of their responsibilities. College players are not technically professionals, and so they still have obligations to academics, school. They're technically supposed to look out for their welfare. It just seems unlikely that they're going to be able to organize an entire season. What I could see happening with college football, what they're trying to do right now is just do a full conference slate, basically in every conference. The Pac-12 has done this, the Big Ten, and the ACC yesterday announced that they're only going to play conference games as well. I could see them playing a conference schedule, but it seems unlikely that it'll be a full 9 or 10 games. And that could be good or bad. It will be more difficult come playoff season, when the bowls roll around. If some teams have played, say, 10 games and the other teams have played 6 or 7, it'll be harder to figure out all the bowl games because of all the regionalized quirks with college football. And then you have other teams that, like Oklahoma in the Big 12, they actually moved up their week one game ahead a week. It was against Missouri State, so just an FCS team. So they're trying to move games up so they can play them, readjust, kind of, and have a couple weeks to prepare for later games in the season. Now, will there be fans at any of these games? Probably not, especially in college where everyone is a student. And because there's so much travel in between these games, I don't think college is going to have any fans in the stadium this season. The NFL, because it's got more of a plan, because they're going to let teams go off of the state requirements in terms of whatever their COVID restrictions are in the moment. The NFL, there's a chance some of these teams will be able to have fans in the stands. Definitely not full capacity, but there should be, at some point, some people able to go watch the games in person. And at the very least, I think the NFL will have the closest to a full season. It might not be 16. They've already canceled all their preseason games. But I think we're going to have at least 13, 14 games in the NFL, I would say.
Interesting. Ed's got a question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. As a season ticket holder at the U of A for decades, okay, so here it comes down. Who gets in, who doesn't when they start the game? I mean, we don't get 50,000 people in the stands. We get 30,000 now. They could close half the stadium anyhow. But how do you make that decision that you guys can have tickets and you guys can't? And I don't know. That's a toughie, isn't it?
Yeah, who gets in, who doesn't get in? That's going to be a whole other dynamic. But, I mean, look at if there's no fans in the stands, look at baseball. Baseball's been back. You got the Miami Marlins or whatever they're called now, the Florida Marlins. They're devastated. Half their teams got COVID-19. They had to cancel four games. What happens if half your football team gets sick? I mean, how do you play sports that way? It doesn't really work. But, I mean, tonight hockey comes back. I'm excited about that. I think basketball in the bubble starts tonight or tomorrow. Ryan,
tonight.
Where are we starting?
Starts tonight as well, yeah. More basketball.
Do you think what they're doing so far, like in baseball, you're a fan of sports. Do you like the no fans in the stands? Did you like the other day when the two teams almost brawled?
So I like the part where the Dodgers threw at the Astros. I thought that was very entertaining, and I thought the Astros deserved to get some pitches thrown at them.
Yes, sir.
And so that part was great. Fans in the stands, I think it's especially bad in baseball not to have fans in the stands, because baseball you watch baseball for 3.5 hours for a game, right? But there's only 12 to 18 minutes of action in that entire time span. That's when things are actually happening on the field. And so with baseball, you need the fan ambience. You need the cheers and the chants going on. It gives the television crew something to look at in between pitches or stories to talk about when there are fans there. So baseball, I don't like not having fans in the stands. I don't think it really works from a viewing perspective, because every time a player hits the ball, what are you looking at when they go to the wide shot? You're looking at just a massive empty stadium, and it's super depressing to watch.
Yeah, big sea of green.
And they're pumping crowd noise into these games, but it doesn't really feel real. And it doesn't, when these big plays happen and the crowd noise doesn't coincide, it's very noticeable. And it's every time you watch these games or you see these highlights, it's hard not to think, when is this going to feel normal? And it's probably never going to really feel normal. I think basketball is the most likely to get away with not having fans in the stands, especially what they're doing at Disney World with the bubble, where they have these screens coming down so you can't really see all the empty seats. You really only see the players and the benches and what's happening on the court. So from
and it's a faster, it's there's a lot noticeable. More action, yeah, in a basketball game. It's pretty
Yeah, continuous. There's a lot more action. Yeah. The sounds are more interesting because you can hear the sneakers, you can hear guys yelling at each other. That type of stuff is really interesting for the fan, but for baseball, it just is lacking that. And so the viewing experience is not very enjoyable with the current setup. And now with this Miami Marlin outbreak of 16 players getting COVID in 2 days, it's very possible that the baseball season is just going to get shut down again if things like this keep happening. So
it comes down to this. Not, people test positive for COVID almost every single day. Do they actually get sick? That's my thing, is people test positive, but do they physically get sick? Because from the onset, this was supposed to, if you get this, you're going to die. That's what we learned from day one. Hundreds of millions, thousands of millions of people are going to die. We've got to shut down the entire world, the economy, and everything else. But now you've got 16 people on one team that have it. You had a cruise ship full of old people that got it, and 23% of them got it, but only 7% actually really got sick, and then one person died. You had was it USS Roosevelt that had the entire crew get it, the entire ship get it, and one person, one fatality, but only 3% physically got really sick. So you got 16 people on the Marlins that have it. Big whoop. How many of them are actually sick? That's what I want to know.
There haven't been any reports on who's actually symptomatic or not, which makes me think that most of the players are largely asymptomatic. But the thing with the positive test for the Marlins is that they then had to restructure the entire schedule of all the National League, American League East teams just to deal with the Marlins outbreak. Like, the Yankees ended up playing the Orioles this week instead of the Phillies. The Phillies got quarantined for a huge amount of time. And then you have, like, they had to just redo this entire schedule. It's just not working in baseball. Nah. If you're going to have these outbreaks, which it'll probably happen again, to be honest.
It'll happen to another team, I guarantee it.
Yeah, there's so much travel. You're not just playing in a bubble. You have to go outside. You have to go to airports. You have to do all these things. It's going to happen again for baseball. And there's a lot of panic just over the Marlins. And suddenly it feels like it wouldn't be a bad bet to say that just the MLB season is not going to finish. That at some point it's going to happen too many times, and they're just going to be like, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's try again next year when things are hopefully closer to normal.
Okay, they had their chance. They had a whole summer to figure this out, and they blew it, and now nobody cares.
In baseball, you can't high-five. Yeah. You can't handshake. You can't spit. You can't do any of the things that normally take place. You can't chest bump. Can't do any of that. And half the Marlins got COVID. So how are you going to tell me that when we play basketball tonight, or we play, well, basketball more so, because they're not wearing sleeves,
you're right,
and they're sweating.
On contact, yeah.
And
yeah,
you're
going
to run into the guy next to you. You're going to get a hand slap here. You're going to get something. You're going to have physical contact. How are you telling me that half the NBA doesn't get COVID-19 by tomorrow because they're rubbing up against each other?
Well, that's the whole bubble philosophy, is that if you just stick them in Disney World and don't let them go anywhere and you test them every single day, then you're going to limit the number of people who get it. And the NBA, for the most part, has done a good job. It's been over 3 weeks since they last had a positive test inside that bubble of an NBA player. And so if nobody is contracting it, then hopefully they won't be able to spread it. But the NBA has basically said that if someone tests positive, we're going to throw them into quarantine, and then we're going to keep playing games. And so, that's the NBA's goal. It would only become a problem if a team got decimated, because you only have 12 guys generally on the
bench. Very easy. Take out a superstar. Take out LeBron James. Does the world go crazy because LeBron James now is in quarantine for 14 days and can't play? Oh, my God, you're against the Lakers and you hate us. That's what's coming next.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If this is in the playoffs and it's like LeBron James test positive, or Giannis Antetokounmpo test positive or something, then it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And how do you handle a star player being out potentially for the NBA Finals or for a massive playoff series or whatever? Mm. Because technically all these NBA games are going to be extremely meaningful now.
Because we're going to the playoffs right away.
Games in the playoffs, yeah.
Well, hey.
So how the NBA handles that will be interesting.
This is very – I can't wait till tonight. Hockey's coming back. I'm excited. Care less about basketball. Baseball's a sham, and we'll go from there. UFC's on this next weekend, so we're good there. Ryan Larson, I got to say thank you very much for joining us this morning, and great information. Stay safe. Get your education done, and we will see you in 1 week, right?
Yep, I'll be back next week. Appreciate
See you back
you
next week.
Me on this week.
Take care.
Yep.
Ryan Larson with sports. We're going to go to a quick break. It's Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice. Wake up, Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, 790-2040 if you want to get on the conversation. We'll be right back.
Well, you can go dancing, but you have to be dancing in the street. You know, I went by Skate Country last week, and the parking lot was full. So you're allowed to go roller skating?
I was like, hang on a second.
But well, you can go to the gym instead, huh?
You can go to Top Golf now. Top Golf's open like normal. They got barriers in between, but
yeah,
it's open like normal.
But there are no barriers on a skating rink.
Well, no, there's also no social distancing.
Right.
It's kind of like basketball. Wake
it
up, Tucson.
But I can't go to the gym.
Yeah, wake up, Tucson. Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice, and a very confused and upset at Alexander about why he can't go to Danny Swaya's Tucson Strength and get a workout on it.
Oh, I could, because he's outside.
He's outside.
He's
got to
figure it out.
Yeah, no, Danny's doing it right, and that's what it's all about. It's like, yeah, that's the best thing about the entrepreneur spirit. You give me the rules, I'm going to go walk all the way up to the line, and you drew the line in the sand, and I'm going to literally lean as far over it as I possibly physically can without breaking the rules.
You know what? I'd love to see us take entrepreneurs and bring them to the table in this conversation and make decisions with them. Let them make these decisions. I'll bet we'd see totally different decisions.
Oh, absolutely. Instead of the governor and his clowns that he's got working with him.
Right.
I mean,
instead of the government.
Yeah, well, I mean, the government never has a great solution. You tell me a government program or even a public-private partnership that works well.
Well, we had Raynard Jackson on yesterday, and I said to him, if the White House were listening right now, what would you tell them? And he outlined three steps, and it was brilliant. And he started with get the black entrepreneurs, and they'll bring the churches. It was really I was talking about that all day yesterday to anyone who would listen to me. I just thought that was so top on.
Okay, we've got to get rid of this Fauci guy.
So look, this is making me ill, people, okay? Welcome to Thursday morning in your life. Dr. Fauci and Colin Kaepernick are going to be honored with the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Awards.
The Ripple of Hope Award.
The Ripple of Hope. Yeah, Colin, get on your knees, Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Screw you, America. And Fauci, who is the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He has nothing to do with anything in the world, and he is ruining your life.
He hasn't treated a patient in 20 years.
This man, he's not even CDC. He's not even WHO. He's nothing. He's the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious. Well, thank
Isn't
you very much.
NIH?
I don't know. And he was director of. So that means he got
well.
A bunch of doctors went and said, "Hey, you run it this year." What the hell?
Guess what he just said just now? It's going to make you just absolutely fry your brain. So masks are effective, according to him. But he suggests that not only do we wear masks, but now he's suggesting that goggles, eye shields better. It's right here.
Up.
Fox News has got it up right now. He just said it. He is now saying that we should have eye shields or goggles. So here's your next stupid mandate. Get your PPP ready, people, because here it comes. You're going to have to buy your face shield and eye goggles because Deucey's going to make it mandatory next.
Because Fauci said so.
Holy good gracious.
Oh, my gosh. This guy really wants to write a big book, so he just keeps it rolling.
When is Trump going to fire him? That's the question. He's been there for four presidents. When does Trump fire him and get somebody who's actually got a brain? I mean, the guy's probably got
a really smart brain. He's a civil servant. He isn't going anywhere. He is a civil servant.
We can't fire him?
Nope.
Why not? We can't replace him? You can't give me another doctor? You can't give me anybody?
Well, President Trump could get someone else to give him advice. He could certainly do that, but Fauci's going to continue to collect his whatever his salary is, somewhere around $200,000.
He's not worth it. I want to go to Lawrence real quick. Lawrence has got a thing about schools, because Lawrence is a teacher, and he might know a thing or two. Lawrence, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, you know what? I'm doing okay. You know, taking care of a lot of different things going on. The one thing, you know what, I'm really tired of is everybody says, where's a mask? Well, where are the N95 masks for us to wear? I spoke with my, you know how the health insurance companies will have the nurse call you to check to see what you're doing and everything health-wise. And I honestly asked her, I said, can you answer this one question for me? Because I answered everything else, you know, that I'm on my health and everything. And she said, I asked her, is the N95 the best mask to have? And she said, yes. Well, if we really seriously want to stop this and wear a mask, why aren't we wearing N95 masks? Get them out for everybody, not just the health workers. We truly wanted to stop this and do this because, you know, I have to be honest with you. I had a meeting Monday with some county officials from Parks and Recreation, and because I was in a county facility, I had to wear a mask. I tell you, I felt really awful the rest of the day from sitting there meeting them for 1 hour. I couldn't wait till we got outside where I could take my mask off and be spaced out distance from them to not have to be breathing that.
How are you going to do wearing a mask while teaching kids?
You have to teach all day.
Oh, we're not in school, we're not in class, and we're not going to be in class until after the fall break. This joke about not till September, I can't believe the county health department did this when there's a lot of science saying the kids need to be with each other. I mean, I received an email. I mean, I have to start planning now. I had some great trainings last week, but I have to start planning now and organizing what I'm going to do more so than if I was in the classroom. But I have to do it now because now I have to present in line. And I just received an email that one of my students, of my 150 that I have on my roster, has no internet, no nothing. And I'm going to email the registrar back and say, do they have access to our school computer or something? I mean, this is crazy. I have to come up with additional stuff for people who aren't going to be there. They're supposed to all come to our school if they don't have access to the computer, they could come to our school and learn. That's what I thought. But I don't know. It's changing by the minute. It's just really frustrating. I'm going to get a face shield. If I have to teach in person, I'm going to have a face shield on. And, you know, it just I'm tired of it. I really am. I'm tired of being online because I can guarantee you it's going to happen. My wife's online. My daughter's going to go to the U of A. 3/4 of her class, I think all but one of her classes right now is not online. Yeah, there's only one class of hers that hasn't gone online yet totally. And then my other daughter's going to be doing her Pima classes also. And I'm like, you know, this is going to tax our internet, and I'm going to have the shutdown. It's going to shut down on me.
You're going to have a lag. Yeah, you're going to have to upgrade your internet speed. Lawrence, I appreciate all the information, man. You're a wealth of knowledge. I do appreciate it. We're up against a hard break, so I do need to let you go.
Right,
Barney.
No, hey, you guys, take care.
Thank you. Have a great day. Barney, we'll have you call back after we get done with Congressman Schweikert. He's coming up at 7 o'clock. At 7:30, we got Don Guerra from Barrio Bread. 8 o'clock, I've got Ryan Uber, who is a Sowerita Town Council candidate down in your neck of the woods.
That's right.
And then we've got somebody for you. I'm bringing on one of my landscapers because he's got a wonderful story. And also, with all the wind and rain that we don't have, well, we have a lot of wind, not a lot of rain. Mm-mm. Your trees are coming down. So when you need some landscape work, this is the guy to call. We've got Samson's Landscaping coming up at the 8:30 hour. I want you guys to hear his story because COVID-19 changed his life for the better.
Good.
It's amazing what this can do. But 9 o'clock, we got Zach Gensler, who's coming up with Tipping Point. Hugh Hewitt at 10. You've got Mr. Bill Buckmaster at noon. And do not forget, everybody, we do need your school supplies at Sparkle Cleaners. There's 15 locations throughout Tucson, and they're collecting school supplies for when the kids go back. Anything that you can think of, Clorox wipes,
it's treasures
pencils.
For teachers, so that the supplies are for the teachers. So the teachers don't have to go buy
to the kids.
All the stuff, yeah. But they have to go buy the stuff for the kids.
Yeah.
If the kids don't have it. So you can help with
all Sparkle Cleaners
stuff.
Are your drop-off location. It's 6:59 in the morning. Wake up Tucson. Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice. We'll be right back after this.